mics on? I picked this up, and I thought perhaps I've hung it over the back of the chair when I went down for a bit. But anyway, I've been away. It's in archive and it's I feel secure.
Well, you just that archive.
I haven't worked out how to do it. I just keep ringing and saying it's wrong. I feel like an idiot.
But license from CCLI number 14636. Welcome to worship at North Baldwin Uniting Church on Sunday the 14th of September 2025, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. Please be seated. Our call to worship. We gather here to meet God,
who hears the cries of the poor.
We gather here to meet God,
who answers the pleas for justice.
We gather here to meet God,
who has called us and will not fail us.
Let us worship God.
This land is God's land, for which the Wurundjeri people have cared for since time immemorial. We acknowledge their elders, past and present, and we commit ourselves to the covenant between the Uniting Church and the Uniting Aboriginal and Islander Christian Congress. Our first hymn today is Together in Song 179, Praise with Joy the World's Creator.
Oh,
Please be seated.
Let us pray. Holy God, you made us to praise your name. In Jesus Christ, your wisdom and your power are made known to us. You are great, and your ways are perfect. Your truth never changes, your mercy never ends, and your grace covers all our sins. We lift our hearts to worship you, for you are our God, and we are your people. Merciful God, we come into your presence and confess our sin and the sin of this world. Christ is here among us as our peace, but we are often divided. We hold on to the values of a broken world. The profit and pleasure we chase hurt the land and pollute the seas. The fear and greed in our hearts turn neighbor against neighbor, and nation against nation. We misuse your good gifts, our imagination, freedom, mind, and reason, and too often turn them into tools of harm. Lord, have mercy on us, heal us, and forgive us. Set us free to serve you as people of your reconciling love in Jesus Christ. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Friends, in Christ, the Bible says, the mercy of the Lord lasts forever. And in Christ, we have new life. Always remember God's grace in Jesus Christ and be thankful.
Thanks be to God. Amen. And now we listen for God's word.
Reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4, verses 11 to 12, and then 22 to 28. At that time, it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind comes from me out of the bare heights in the desert towards my poor people, not to winnow or cleanse, a wind too strong for that. Now it is I who speak in judgment against them, for my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. Because of this, the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above grow black. For I have spoken, I have proposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back. Now all the texts, the next reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need repentance, who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbours, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
So today I'm going to read you The 10 Silver Coins by Nick Butterworth and Mick Inkpen. Here is a woman. She has 10 silver coins. She likes to count them. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oops, silly cat. Now they've gone all over the place. The woman picks up her silver coins. They have been scattered everywhere. The cat doesn't care. He has stretched out and gone to sleep. The woman counts her silver coins again. But there are only 9. Bother! One of them is missing. Never mind, it can't have gone far. Perhaps it is under the rug. No, there is no sign of it there. Perhaps it has bounced into the fireplace. Carefully, she sifts through the ashes. What a messy job. But no, there is no coin. Perhaps it rolled right under the door and out into the garden. She searches and searches, but she cannot find the coin anywhere. She even looks inside her pots and pans, even though she really knows it can't be there. Clatter, bang, what a noise she is making. She's making so much noise, she's woken up the cat. Serves him right. He's off to find a quiet spot in the garden. There it is. The cat was lying on it all the time. The missing silver coin is found. The woman laughs. She is so happy she calls a friend to tell her the good news. Jesus says, we are all like the woman's silver coins. God wants every single one of us. The next hymn is together in song 693, Come As You Are. Please be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have any of you read Richard Osman's Thursday Murder Club series? If not, I highly recommend them. The books follow Joyce, Elizabeth, Ron, and Ibrahim, who live in a luxury retirement community and use their lifelong experience to solve mysteries. The latest book, The Last Devil to Die, is the saddest, spoiler alert, because in it, Stephen, the husband of Elizabeth, dies after living with worsening dementia through the previous three books. Stephen is such a lovely character, and Elizabeth is shown as loving him so much that I got a wee bit weepy at his death, despite him being imaginary. Richard Osman gives us a moment when Elizabeth is on her way to Stephen's funeral that describes one of the common experiences of grief. Elizabeth looked out of the window of the car at one point and saw a mother pick up a soft toy her child had dropped out of its pram. Elizabeth almost burst into laughter that life was daring to continue. Didn't they know? Hadn't they heard? Everything had changed. Everything. And yet nothing has changed. Nothing. The day carries on as it would. An old man at a traffic light takes off his hat as the hearse passes, but other than that, the high street is the same. How can these two realities possibly coexist? In today's reading from Jeremiah, we find a similar feeling in the face of loss. Didn't they know? Hadn't they heard? Jeremiah is not talking about the death of an individual, but the death of an entire community. Judah has lost its independence, Jerusalem is in ruins, and the temple is gone. Jeremiah describes not only a devastated land, but an entire creation undone. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all the cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. The only other place in the Bible in which the term waste and void, tohu wabohu, is used is in the creation story at the beginning of the book of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, tohu wabohu. Now the earth is becoming that formless void again. On the first day of creation, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. But now the heavens have no light. The land is no longer fruitful. It's not even stable. There are no people on the earth and no birds in the heavens. Everything has been destroyed by the Lord's fierce anger. Of course, none of that has happened. Despite the severity of Judah's sufferings, there are still people. The earth remains stable, and the sun, moon, and stars still light the sky. But this is what their suffering feels like. In the same way that Elizabeth finds it unbelievable that life could dare to continue after the death of her husband, the surviving people of Judah find it unbelievable that creation could continue in the face of their suffering. Their lives have been undone, so they evoke a dystopian space of utter devastation in which everything has been undone. Once again, we're seeing in the book of Jeremiah a traumatized people coming to terms with their trauma through a poetic and imaginative description of what their trauma feels like. When we started this series on the prophecies of Jeremiah, I said that the book of Jeremiah makes no chronological sense, switches between speakers and images, and includes a mixture of poetry, sermons, and biographical pieces. Today's passage is one of those that switches between speaker to speaker. At the very end of today's reading, we are told, "For thus says the Lord," which means we know that it is the Lord who is warning that the earth shall mourn and the heavens above grow black. Has it been the Lord who is speaking all the way through? Is it God who has been looking at the destruction of the earth and the heavens? Is it the prophet Jeremiah? Is it the figure called Daughter Zion in other places in this book, the personification of the city of Jerusalem? We know that the passage is describing what the people's trauma feels like. Is the Lord or the prophet experiencing that pain with them? The lectionary cuts out what might be the most interesting part of the chapter. Immediately before, "For my people are foolish, they do not know me," we read, "My anguish, my anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the walls of my heart. My heart is beating wildly, I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Disaster overtakes disaster. The whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are destroyed, my curtains in a moment. How long must I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet?" Ancient readers decided that the person writhing in anguish is Jeremiah himself. The Lord is telling him to prophesy harm against the people, but seeing the judgment that will fall upon them causes Jeremiah agony. This is one of the moments in the book that challenges the idea that Judah has deserved what is coming to it. Something that causes the prophet so much hurt cannot be justified, no matter how foolish the people are. Have stupid children without understanding really earned disaster upon disaster? Another suggestion is that the speaker is God. It's God who is experiencing anguish at the judgment he is being forced to carry out against his people. Hosea prophesied of a God who said, "My heart recoils within me, my compassion grows warm and tender." Maybe we're again seeing into the soul of a loving God whose nature is compassion and mercy, who knows that for the people's own good they must be chastised, but who regrets it. In that case, it may also be God who is saying, "I looked and lo." God the Creator may be mourning the harm caused to the good creation by human wrongdoing, even if it is the Lord himself and his fierce anger that has executed that harm. The message that human wrongdoing can harm creation is more resonant today than it was in the 6th century BCE. Then, people thought that their sins might affect the earth. We know that our misuse of creation can create natural disasters. Australia is the world leader in mammal extinction, for instance. Maybe God is saying to us, "I looked at Australian mammals and lo, 38 species had been driven to extinction between 1788 and 2025. After all this grief, there is a moment of hope. "For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end." Most commentators agree that this was a later addition by a scribe who knew that the people of Judah had survived the Babylonian exile. But as the text stands, it reads as ambivalence in God's heart. The Lord is definite. "I have not relented, nor will I turn back." But equally, God's punishment is not the full end. We must wait for some weeks, but eventually we will hear, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Despite the horror and judgment of the book of Jeremiah, there is always, always a hint of hope. Desolation never has the final word. In the meantime, when, like Elizabeth, you experience grief so overwhelming that it feels impossible that life can continue, and none of us will escape this life without that experience, know that both the prophet Jeremiah and the God for whom he speaks understand. The next hymn is together in Song 644, Safe in the Shadow of the Lord. Please be seated. Let us bring our prayers for the church and the world. Let us pray. Spirit of life, in the beginning you hovered over creation. Still you brood over the world. We pray for your fragile and wonderful creation. Help us to take care of it as your stewards. We pray for all your scattered children, for those whose stories we see on the news every night, and for those whose heartbreak is such old news it is not even reported, for the people of Afghanistan, Burkina Faso, Mali, Myanmar, Nepal, Niger, Palestine, Sudan, Uganda, and Yemen. We pray for all who cannot rest in safety, who must remain alert to signs of danger because their countries are riven by war, or because their homes are torn by violence, or because they have no shelter but the street. Please help us move with compassion toward those who are in need. Today we pray particularly for the South Sudanese community in Melbourne's west, after the stabbing murders of Chol Achiek and Dao Akien in Cobble Bank. We grieve that families that fled war and violence have found Melbourne unsafe. We pray for the family and friends of Chol and Dao, for all the first responders who will have been affected by these murders, and for those whose job is to keep the community safe, who will need to make difficult decisions. We pray for those who are troubled in mind or body or spirit, for those haunted by anxious thoughts, for those who have no one they can trust. In the silence of this space, we lift the names and faces of those we know to be in need into the light of your love. Search them out. Bring them home. We thank you for each sign of your stirring in the world, for the songs of children, for the return of spring, for the knitting of shattered bones, the healing of diseases, the miracle of vaccines, for the gathering of your people here today. You are present in each reminder of life's grace. Patient and persistent God, let your grace and mercy overflow from our lives as we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord, Mother, and Friend, who came to seek and save what was lost, and who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Your offering for the work of this congregation and the wider church will now be received. Let us pray. Loving God, when we cannot find our way, you come searching for us. May these gifts be used to bring hope to all those who are lost, those cast aside by the world, those whose lives are troubled, those who are alone. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And the world is feeling like a bit of a scary place at the moment, and we still haven't reached the hopeful parts of Jeremiah. We're still in the warning parts. So I thought we would finish today with a rousing and brave hymn. So together in song 561, Who Would True Valour See? Please be seated. So just the one notice, Arthur had a fall this week and he's in Box Hill Hospital. He has cracked his pelvis. I saw him on Thursday and he was really well. He was just Arthur. He said he couldn't speak highly enough of the care he was getting at Box Hill Hospital. And when I was there, a volunteer came to talk to him, and we both kind of looked at her and went, and Arthur said, "This is my minister." It's like, "Volunteer, go away." You know. But she stayed and chatted to him for a while, and at the end she said, "Oh, I'm so glad I've met you. It's been such an honour." And I thought, yes, yes, that is our Arthur. Volunteer person. But it does mean that he is probably going to move into rehab and then into residential aged care. So Phil talked to him yesterday. I'll go and see him again this week and we'll keep you updated. So that's where Arthur is. And I thought you might like to see what I did 3 weeks ago at Auburn Uniting Church. So this is Pooh and Phoebe, who I married 3 weeks ago. And as you can see, I had a lot of fun doing it. It was a lovely day. So I have more photos if you wish to see them. Oh, and the dress. Oh my goodness, the dress was amazing. So please stand. We have been found by our God.
We will go to search for those forgotten by the world.
We have been welcomed by Jesus.
we will go to welcome the strangers.
We have been gathered as a community by the Spirit.
We will go to give family to those who are alone.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.